What is?
What is biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transform. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and I have the privilege of being your host. Today, we're going to talk about being equally yoked, primarily because I've had three different people on three different occasions via email or one in Texas ask if I could talk about this topic of being equally yoked. That term, for those of you that aren't familiar with it, that term is, I know it's kind of like a Christianese term, but it is a term that we'll typically use to reference when one Christian is relating to an unbeliever. And it's a term that comes from the scripture. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and start to turn that direction. Go to 2 Corinthians 6. If you're driving, don't grab your Bible. Please do not do that. I've told you guys this. All right. So as you're turning there, I want you to see that it's probably worth noting that all three of the people that asked were ladies in regard to dating relationship and or marriage. So today I want to start with being equally yoked in a dating relationship. And I want to kind of start with the biblical groundwork for it. And then in our next segment after the break, I'll try to dig a little bit deeper. And some of the responses will be maybe oriented more towards the guys, gentlemen, as you're listening. There might be a level of self-evaluation that can take place here. But I do want to speak just more in broader terms of when you're dating, what do we mean by being equally yoked? What do we not mean? And maybe what are some red flags if you are thinking this person is not equally yoked with you? So let's start with actually going to the text of scripture and seeing where does this idea come from, which is 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, Paul says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial, or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God." I'm going to stop there, but I actually think this continues down to chapter 7, verse 1, where you see that a believer is called to separate themselves from the world. The idea of being a temple of the living God is something that Paul has reiterated multiple times in his books. Remember 1 Corinthians 6, individual Christians are said to have God's Spirit indwelling them, and they are the temple of God, whom he bought with a price, so we're not our own, 1 Corinthians 6:19. But you also see Ephesians 2 reference the church as being the building of God, the temple of God. So corporate church is seen as being a building. The local believer, the individual believer, is going to also be seen as being the temple of God. And this is a great contrast. So it makes perfect sense why you'll see Paul actually appeal back to the Old Testament in verse 16, where the Lord says to the people of Israel, "I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them." But what is unique to the New Testament believer is that that's no longer a temple or a tabernacle, but that is you. As the New Testament Christian, you are the locale in which God inhabits. So the Holy Spirit indwells you. According to multiple passages, Paul talks of it the most, I would say. So because of the Holy Spirit indwelling you, we can say that God is with you, or that his dwelling is among you. And that's part of Paul's argument for negotiating relationships and how do you relate to an unbeliever. But this isn't unique to Paul. I would encourage you, if you have a second, to even go back to the Old Testament and begin to look at the ways that Israel were called to be pure. And one of the ways that they were pure were to not intermarry with surrounding nations. In Ezra 9, around verse 2 or so, you're actually seeing that part of national repentance is that Israel would put away their foreign wives as they are going back to Judah. So intermarriage is representative of being unequally yoked. And even in the Old Testament, that was forbidden to be unequally yoked in the Old Testament. So Paul's not adding something that's new. He's perhaps just clarifying a couple of things. Even in Deuteronomy 22:10, you see that there are miscellaneous laws. And one of those laws is to not yoke an ox and a donkey together. So if you've never, if you maybe think like I'm saying yoked with an L, I'm trying not to, number one, like not, we're not talking about an egg yolk. And you're like, Dr. Gifford, I don't even like eggs. Why are we yoking anything right now? The idea of yoking would have been kind of this farmer and agrarian understanding that you have this wooden device that goes over the necks of both animals. And obviously, if you have different sized animals, different types of animals, that there would be an imbalance in the way that they are pulling the gear in order to till, plant seeds, and prepare for a harvest. So Paul is using that analogy of a yoke to help communicate what a relationship with an unbeliever should look like. But I do want to point out one more passage. And so I've been reading in 2 Corinthians 6, but you're going to like this word. Do hearken back. I always feel so fancy when I say that word. Do hearken back with me. It's probably out of context. It's probably not even the right way to use it, but go to 1 Corinthians 5. Paul says in verse 9, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of the world. That's exactly what it sounds like. Paul's saying, look, hey, when I wrote my letter to you, I was warning you to be pure, and I did tell you not to associate with the sexually immoral. But in order to do that, you have to become Amish. And that wouldn't last very long either, because there are unbelievers in the Amish community. Like, you'd have to continue to relocate to the woods and churn your own butter, because no matter where you are, the human heart is sinful and there is an inherited sin nature. So Paul isn't saying that you need to move to the woods and start a compound. What Paul is saying is that if you are talking about a person who bears the name of a brother, verse 10, then you're not to associate with them. This is going to have big implications for our friendships, which I'll talk about in a future episode. But according to 2 Thessalonians 3:6 and 1 Corinthians 5, you are not to engage in intimate relations with a brother or sister in Christ who names the name of Christ, and yet they do not have a lifestyle that matches that. Idleness is the presenting problem in 2 Thessalonians 3, and here it's sexual immorality. So if someone's saying that, hey, I'm a believer, I love Jesus so much, he is my Lord, and yet you look at their life and there's no meaningful demonstration of that. In fact, it's the opposite, where there are palpable, observable sins, things that are significant, then you should be very leery of associating and moving into a close friendship, dating relationship, and then obviously a marriage relationship with that individual. So how do you balance the two? How do you know about being equally yoked? Or how do you know that maybe this is a brother or sister that names the name of Christ and is not living that out? Well, in the context of 2 Corinthians 6, we are talking about an unbeliever. And I think that's going to be a helpful line to draw. Equally yoked, when you're unequally yoked, we're talking about a person who is an unbeliever. And I'm going to tease out implications for spiritual maturity and denominational differences between two believers. But in that way, if you were to say, hey, Dr. Gifford, can I be unequally yoked with another believer? I would say not according to the context of 2 Corinthians 6, because 2 Corinthians 6 is talking about an unbeliever. That is directly in the context. What portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? So when you understand that, that does mean there are levels of association you have to redefine according to 1 Corinthians 5 with a believer who's not following Christ. And I mean that in a palpable, observable, significant way. They're not following Christ. There's no fruit, no engagement in a local church, no Bible reading. There's rampant sin. In that way, you may say, hey, look, I'm not going to be the closest of associates with that person who names the name of Christ. But that is different from talking about being unequally yoked. So how do we begin to connect the dots to dating relationships? Well, first of all, I mean, this should be obvious, but the answer, first of all, is that you're obviously not dating an unbeliever. This is like junior varsity to a certain degree. I'll tell my students here at Masters, I'll say, hey, you know, this is kind of a junior varsity thing because most of us agree on this. According to the scripture, if that person is not a believer, there's no evidence of them being a believer, then that means that they're not a qualified person for you to date. Now, what if they're a very friendly person and they're open to going to church with you? More power to them. Great. Like, we want them to go to church, but they're still not a qualified individual for us to date. Ladies, if he hasn't gone to church in the past 3 years and yet he starts going to church with you, let me just burn some of the fog off of what you're seeing there. Most likely, he does not have spiritual life apart from you. So if you think, well, like, hey, he started going to church, he started coming with me, he started getting connected to my friend group. And I'm like, yes, but he didn't go to church for the 3 years prior to dating you. Then guess what happens if you're not prompting him to go? So when we begin to just burn the fog off and say, what's going on there? If this is in any way a person who looks like an unbeliever, lives like an unbeliever, makes no significant profession of faith, they're just friendly and kind, and they're willing to go to church with their girlfriend or boyfriend, then what I would say is don't date them. Honestly, just make it that clear. This is going to create long-term problems. So let me stop here. When we come back in our next segment, I want to pick up with the idea of spiritual maturity versus being unequally yoked. So we will be right back.
All right, we'll be back with Dr. Gifford in just a moment. But real quick, I wanted to take a second to share some exciting resources we have available. I want to call your attention to a book that you might not even consider, Money, Debt, and Finances by Jim Neuheiser. It's available in the Transform store right now. And I know what you're thinking, finances, what does that have to do with dating? But if you're dating with the intentions of getting married, then trust me, this is a topic that gets overlooked. As a matter of fact, financial issues are one of the most common reasons cited for divorce. And this book by Jim Neuheiser is crucial for couples who want to get on the same page financially before you walk the aisle and enter into that covenant relationship, because he covers everything from budgeting to saving to navigating debt and investing wisely. I highly recommend that you build a strong foundation of your finances before you get married. And Jim Neuheiser's Money, Debt, and Finances can help you get started. You can pick it up now in the Transform store at transformed.org. Speaking of which, while you're there, we need your help as well, because we can't continue to produce resources without our gospel partners. And that's where you come in. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting this program, but you're investing in a whole range of life-changing resources. Now, I want to be clear here. We're not asking for you to go into debt in order to join us. We're not asking you to neglect your local church. As a matter of fact, if you're not being faithful in giving to your local church, do not give to this ministry. And if you're in any type of debt, do not give to this ministry. We believe in stewarding God's money well. And so if you're in a position to give above and beyond that, then we ask if you would prayerfully consider partnering with us. And speaking of that and making an impact, have you ever considered becoming a biblical counselor yourself? It is an incredible way to minister to the hurting people in your church. And if it's something that's been on your heart, then we have the perfect resource to help you get going. It's called Christ-Centered Biblical Counseling. It's a comprehensive guide written by some of the most respected names in the field, like Bob Kelman and Steve Byers. This book will equip you with a valuable model for counseling that's deeply rooted in God's Word. Pick it up today at transformed.org. That's about all of the time I have. We can't stay away from Dr. Gifford too long. He gets antsy waiting for us over there. So let's get back to him now for the second half of this episode, where he continues his discussion on being unequally yoked in your dating relationships. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
We have a tendency to let our feelings be the engine that drives our lives. And when we do, despair is soon to follow.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back. Thank you, Jimmy. It is indeed one of those locations, speaking of the Transformed store, it's one of those locations that's just getting better. So I'm trying to upload free resources for you guys. I'm doing my best to reference books and show you guys some trustworthy resources. So I would encourage you to continue to take a look at Transformed and share that with those that are asking questions about biblical counseling. Now, this is a trusted group of resources. We're doing our best to vet and prevent anything being in there that would not be helpful to you. So we've been talking about being unequally yoked in dating relationships. The next aspects that I want to tease out after saying, first of all, 2 Corinthians 6:14 is about the believer, unbeliever. I want to begin to tease out what this looks like specifically in dating relationships. So do maintain that distinction. Can you be unequally yoked with a believer? Not particularly, but there are things that will obviously hinder the intimacy or the growth of your relationship. So let me give you a couple of considerations. So sometimes people will say, I feel like I'm unequally yoked in this relationship. And what they're really talking about is one person is very immature as a believer and another person is very mature. And that's hopefully okay with you to say. I know sometimes that can come across as haughty or self-righteous, but Paul even uses this idea of, hey, you should be on from the milk to the meat of the word. Or there is a comment at the end of Hebrews 5, beginning of chapter 6, talking about the meat of the word and having your discernment trained, end of Hebrews 5, by those who are mature. So there is a level of maturity that comes with being a follower of Christ. So if I say the term baby or spiritual baby, I don't mean it in an insulting way. I just think of it more of a level of immaturity. Like you're new to this. You're new to all of this. And that does mean that there are those that are older and yet they're still spiritually babies. They're just getting started in their spiritual walk and following Christ. And that also means that I have 18, 19-year-old students at Masters that are quite mature. And I'm often very surprised by how spiritually mature they are. They've been walking with the Lord for 10 plus years now, and you can see it evidenced in their life. So when we talk about spiritual maturity, what is it, first of all? Well, I mean, we are talking about Christ-likeness, and we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit and manifesting Christ-like character. But just guard yourself against thinking intellectual reader type versus doer type that doesn't like to read. I often find that people begin to assess spiritual maturity based off of how many books by the English Puritans have you read. Oh, you've never run John Calvin, have you? You hate the Lord, obviously. Oh, you don't get lost studying the original languages of the scripture? How do you even follow Jesus? That's my fancy voice for you guys. Because what we're doing is we're actually interpreting spiritual maturity as being a reader. But I would often see that there are certain types of individuals that are just not readers, but they're more of doers and servers. They're going to be the best deacon, deaconess in the world. They're never going to read a book, but man, they will build something for the church. They will use their gifts to cook meals for those in the church. They're going to be at the AV soundboard at the back of the church sanctuary, just doing a great job, but they don't get lost reading John Calvin, in all fairness. So make sure you're evaluating spiritual maturity fairly as being manifesting the fruit of the Spirit and growing in Christ-like character. Do they look more and more like Jesus? Not do they love to read the English Puritans? Next, technically you can be a new believer and still be yoked in an equal way, but there will be obvious challenges that come with that. So I'll share more on that here in a second. The next thing that I'll encourage you to think about with spiritual maturity is if the lady in a relationship is more spiritually mature than the male, then that is something that has to change. The gap can't widen. Mind the gap, in the words of the London subway system. Mind the gap, because it will affect your relationship long term. So ladies, if he doesn't grow in his spirituality, meaning doesn't grow in spiritual maturity, he doesn't bridge the gap a little bit, then that becomes exasperating to you as you feel like you are growing closer to the Lord and your husband's just kind of tinkering around back there. We're not sure if he's really following the Lord seriously or not. So in a dating relationship, you have to see that that can work. You can be a lady who's dating a guy that's much less mature than you, but that can also explode on you as well. And if you're overly charitable about how he follows the Lord and, well, he just started coming to church with me, or, well, he's trying to get things together. If you're overly charitable about that, then just know if you move towards marriage, that can be something that's very exasperating. If you are more mature as the lady, then you're looking for him to see if he is actually trying to bridge that gap, if he's trying to grow. Because if he doesn't, that is something you're going to have to keep your eye on, especially if you move closer to engagement and marriage. Long term, if you're married to a person that is significantly less spiritually mature than you, then it will cause barriers to your unity and your intimacy. So what am I saying with this? When thinking about this idea of being equally yoked with spiritual maturity, just make sure that you're evaluating it correctly. You're not just angling it based off of your giftedness. You're thinking about it really from the big picture of fruit of the Spirit and Christ-like character. And then you are noting that if you are more mature as a lady than the guy that you're dating, then that is something that does need to change. The gap has to close. You're doing your best not to slow down in your spiritual maturity, but to say, hey, look, I'm only going to date a guy that's really trying to grow in Christ-likeness. Here's a couple of more thoughts for you. So that's evaluating spiritual maturity. Here's the next one. Sometimes we're not sure if this person is a baby, newborn believer or not a believer at all. And you're asking the question about being equally yoked because deep inside, you're not sure they are really a Christian. So here's a couple of questions I would encourage you to ask yourself. Would there be spiritual fruit / progress without you? Do they have their own spiritual walk without you? When you're dating a person that only has a spiritual walk because you are tethering them to the church, or you are tethering them to a small group Bible study, or you are tethering them to serving, then guess what happens when you don't tether them anymore? They don't have that. So what are you looking for? If you're concerned they might be a baby newborn believer, then ask yourself, do they have their own walk with Christ apart from me? And if they don't, you do need to be concerned. And your skepticism is warranted. So I want you to think about it in this way. If I'm tethering him to the church, then most likely he's not tethered to the church without me. If I'm tethering her to the church, she only comes when I go. She's only a part of the things I'm a part of. They have no independent spiritual life apart from me. Then guess what? Most likely they're coming because of me, not because of their own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So you do need to give place for that. Is that a concern enough to maybe end a relationship? Yeah, I do think it is. Where do you think that's going to get better? If it doesn't get better, I think you're having to get to the point and say, yeah, I don't know if this is good for us to be together. So do you call that being unequally yoked, or do you just simply call that being discerning? Well, if we're not sure if this person is a believer, it is tugging a little bit at, are they a Christian? Should I date them at all if I'm having to tether them to the local church? Last thing, people will say being unequally yoked in regard to denominational differences. Make sure that you give place to those. Technically, you are equally yoked when you are a person who is Reformed and yet you now are dating an individual who is from more of a charismatic or Pentecostal background. You can be equally yoked in that regard. You're from Church of Christ and they're from a Bible church, something like that. But do recognize that there are going to be significant doctrinal and convictional differences between you guys. So there will have to be a level of agreement and compromise in working toward unity for you guys to be on the same page as a married couple. In fact, it might be quite challenging if neither of you are open to renegotiating your doctrine and your convictions. Does that mean we're talking about being equally yoked? No. I think we're talking more about the relationship skill of worship and understanding how believers should share similar convictions for them to grow in unity. You're going to have the closest friendships and dating relationships with people that share your same doctrine and your at least similar convictions. So what are you experiencing in this? Well, you have very different denominational backgrounds, and there's always going to feel like there's a sticking point and a hindrance to your relationship. So give place for that. Give place for that. Is that being unequally yoked? No, but it does matter and it does affect your dating relationship. So in sum, what are some of the key takeaways from today? Make sure that you're using that definition correctly of really unequally yoked is talking about an unbeliever. And as a dating relationship, no, never appropriate for me to date someone who is an unbeliever. If I'm not sure if they're a believer, a very baby newborn believer or an unbeliever, then ask yourself, would there be spiritual life and fruit without you? Or are you the one that is buoying their spiritual life at this point? Lastly, make sure that you are evaluating spiritual maturity properly. Don't be overly judgy about they don't read John Calvin or they don't read Jerry Bridges like I read. They don't read Dr. Gifford and listen to Transformed. Okay, that could be a red flag in all seriousness. No, I'm just kidding. Just make sure that you're evaluating spiritual maturity accurately. And then lastly, denominational differences. So let me pray for you folks. Of course, write into greg@transform.org if you have clarifying questions. And in our next episode, I'm going to continue to pick up with different aspects of being equally yoked. Lord, I do pray for those that are in the dating game right now It is challenging. Sometimes it tugs at your own motivation, tugs at some of your own identity. And so I pray for my brothers and sisters that they would have discernment and yet the ability to recognize that there are certain things that believers can disagree on, and that's okay. Lord, help us not to be individuals who are blind to the realities that there are some people that we just shouldn't date and we should just steer clear of. May you give us spiritual discernment and maturity to recognize that before our emotions get too connected and we begin to be blinded by even our own affections. So I pray for those that are in this game, Lord, help them to have discernment and wisdom, and may there be people that are wise in their lives that can speak truth and help. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Gospel Partners Media. Our website, of course, is transformed.org, and it is your central hub for finding in-depth information on all things Transformed. If you've enjoyed Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family. Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly Gospel Partner? And until next time, go serve your King.